Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Beautiful day in the city. Positive vibes, I think. We'll see what happens here. The Leafs are in Chicago taking on the Blackhawks tonight. And the Raptors are at home against Indiana. So both teams coming off a couple of losses. Both teams hoping to get back into the winning circles of things. I think the Raptors, it's all about offensive production, turnovers. We talked a lot about this yesterday. But actually the same issue is plaguing both teams. You know, and Sheldon Keefe was speaking on it earlier this afternoon. They're trying to clean up their defensive play, clean up the turnovers.
We talked about this ad nauseum, Hayes. Like, when you're talking about guys that have been around, like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, clean this up and clean that up? And we've talked about it. And people have come back at me with different numbers, and I don't do numbers. I have a respect for them because they signify something. Not sure what, but numbers aren't terribly bad. They're going to start turning it around. But just, like, giveaways and veteran guys, like, not, it's just not getting it done. That's what it is. It's like,
yeah, execution.
I just don't understand that type of talk. We're trying to figure out our game, find out, like, I don't know. If you didn't know what expectations were or what your role was or what you're supposed to do going into this season, like, what is the hangover from? You got bounced in the first round.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think there's a lot of people trying to figure out if there's a psyche attached to this too, you know, and everyone wants to put Mitch Marner right in the middle of it and go, you know, he's here all summer. He hears the noise and all that. But, like, ultimately everyone in that dressing room has to own it. It's still early on. And instead of beating a dead horse, because believe me, that's what we've been doing, and that they've given us enough to talk about, what they need to do is turn it around, not in a hurry, but show signs of progress. I didn't believe Sheldon Keefe the other night saying, like, you didn't see us at you know, ground level. That was a serious game. Yeah, it was a serious
nonsensical
game. It was a serious game by the other team.
It's just like Jeff Petrie last night after they got thumped by Seattle.
He goes, the Kraken.
They got slapped around by the Kraken. And after the game, he had this stunned look on his face. And he's like, we've done that 3 or 4 times this year. Not ready. Not prepared, didn't work hard, couldn't make a pass, and we overall sucked. And he's like, I don't know what else to say.
That's 3 out of 7. Like, that's not 3 out of, like, 25. You know, you expect that, right? Like, you expect off nights.
And you could maybe throw it in that they went to the finals and that they're I don't know, they're waiting to get the engine revving, but.
Well, I mean, different stories, right? Like, Hayes, you said this yesterday. Montreal, the fan base, like, their cup is full a little bit. Like, they, you know, as far as. They got a little taste of something last year.
They're in a cup final.
They're feeling pretty good. They, you know, I think they can give a little bit of reprieve to the group. You know, Carey Price, Shea Weber, all of that. Here, the Leafs are like, you know what? That's the same group. They should be pissed off. I think I was thinking about it last night. This start isn't catastrophic, but I think what it is everyone was sitting back. I guess I'm not saying everyone. I'll just say me. I was sitting back going, I had a feeling this team was going to start like a house on fire. Like, you know, like, we're pissed off, we're going, and it just hasn't fallen into line, whether it's yet or if it doesn't or not. Like, yesterday I was like, maybe they're just not as deep as I thought we were, as I thought they were. I don't say we, they were. But ultimately, they've got to go out and prove it. They got an opportunity. If you win in Chicago, then you win against Detroit. Now you got some really big boys around the corner next week. That'd be a good test. But you've got to find a way, like a positive thing to draw off of. All three of us have played. You sit in that room, and you're just looking for something positive to happen. And, yes, I included you, Hayes.
Thank you, Noodles. I'm sure you went
through that in junior where
you
lose 5 in a row, and you're like, man, like, we just need something good to happen.
What was your speech to the Sarnia Sting?
Well, I didn't really have one. I mean, listen, I wasn't the guy beating a drum, believe me. I was barely in the room. You could, if I was on the outside of the room, no one would have paid attention. But this screams of a scenario where if Dubas were to come out and speak, if Shanahan were to come out and speak, they'd say, it's on the players, no help is coming, we're not firing the coach. And there are times when management says that stuff, and I think as a fan you have a right to roll your eyes and say, I'm not buying that. Like, something has to give here. Something has – the levy's got to break, or the coach is clearly an issue. This is an example of where that would be 100% accurate as far as I'm concerned. If Dubas were to come out and say, listen, this is the players, because it is. Like, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Austin Matthews have not played well enough.
No.
Like, the last three games, they have not been good enough. It's not
exactly
like they can't play better. You know, it's not like you're asking a guy in the fourth line, like, come on, man, there's injuries, you got to step up, and you're
right.
being unfair. This is totally fair to expect those three guys to be three of the best players in the league.
And
they
the
were
reason
all three
it's
of them on the top 50 list
yes.
3 weeks ago.
And there's
they're
a
all
reason
better
that
this.
They're so counted on because, like, you don't think Nick Ritchie's going to be sitting there on the bench because they affect so many. They're so good that when they're on their game, everybody around them is better. You don't
Great.
Think Nick Ritchie was looking for a Mitch Marner? In the preseason, you gave him some tap-in layup goals where he's like, God, all I got to do is go to the net and put my stick on the ice, and this guy's going to feather me passes. So it
right.
affects so many other people. When that's why those players are great. Because when they're on the ice, everyone around them is better. That's what makes great players.
Right,
they make everybody
absolutely.
Better. And when all of them are struggling at the same time, and here's a stat for you, it affects everybody, and you times that by three or four, you're looking at 15 people that don't benefit from their great play. They
right.
got to be better.
They got to be better. It's simply on the players. Like, it really is. It's on the players, and they're capable of being better. We talked about it extensively yesterday, the big four up front and the top four on the back end. That is the lifeline of this team. The whole team revolves around those eight players and then
yeah.
whoever's in net that night, if it's Campbell or Mrazek. Everyone else filters in appropriately. If they all play up to the way that they are capable of playing, you got yourself a good team.
Well,
you got yourself a competitive
playoff team. And like it or not, that's
team.
Their game plan.
And that has to be their game plan. Those guys got to they got to step up. They got to snap out of it because collectively they haven't been good enough.
Agreed. And don't discount the fact that Mrazek's injury has had a slight little ripple effect on Jack Campbell because Mrazek may have taken one of those starts off of Campbell. And what it is you get into a groove where you can practice, do a little more prep on a game. All of a sudden, if you're playing a lot more, you're forced into a situation like and you know, Hutchinson goes in, it's not good. Campbell's got to go in, you know, like it's not great, and vice versa. Campbell gets pulled. So I think it's a scenario where there's been a trickle effect, but your goaltender has to be a lot better too.
Yeah, well, and listen, I think, like I said an hour ago, eyes are on Campbell tonight because
right.
he's lost a few in a row. He's given up some goals. Again, I don't think they were his issue. That wasn't his issue in Carolina. It wasn't his issue in Pittsburgh. He's made some great stops too. Like
yeah.
those games could have been worse in terms of the final score line, but if you're a true bona fide number one, you're a stopper. It's like being a horse as a pitcher,
yeah.
right? Like, you go out there. We saw it with Halladay for 10 years in Toronto. Things are struggling. Oh, Halladay's on the mound. He's going to go out there and pitch a gem tonight and cool things down. Might be the role of Campbell. Jack Campbell has to play tonight. Hopefully not. You know, hopefully everyone's chugging and you get on the board early and good vibes and you're feeling good going into the third period.
By the way, that's a true test for Campbell in his first year, Hayes. It's like this is his first year kind of being the number one guy. And by the way, steal one because your team is junk behind you. Good luck with
right,
that.
Right, but listen, you're right, but that's what Carey Price had to deal with and has to deal with. That's what Marty Brodeur had to deal with. Hasek had to deal with. Patrick Watt. I'm not saying that that's the caliber he's in, but that's what comes with the nature of the position. If you're number one, and he's the number one right now because Mrazek is not even available. He's got to go, and you got to play, man. You got to
perform.
No,
it's non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. He's got to play well tonight, and it doesn't look like Marc-Andre Fleury will play tonight.
No, it's Lankinen.
So, yeah, like the Blackhawks are, I don't know, are they throwing this game? Like what
no.
is, I don't know, what's going on?
Well, if you take a look at, I mean, I don't think you're throwing it based on the Flower hasn't looked very good,
he has
too.
Not.
Like, it's the
he
chicken
not,
and the egg. But like, I was looking at the Flower stats. Like, in the, I get a game preview sent to me, and, like, it's not just ugly. Like, it's awful. And Lankinen has given them some.
Now. It's not Flower anymore. It's weed.
No, I mean, it's not good, put it that way. It's been a battle. Projected star games played. Fleury is 0-4. Goals against the 5.75. Save percentage is .838. Like,
no,
it's,
that's not good.
It's
that's
terrible.
Not, it's terrible. Like, but and speaking of Flower, actually, this is a perfect segue because I wanted to bring up this Nick Sirianni analogy that he used earlier, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. Because there's a lot of philosophers down there, man. You know Jalen Hurts is one of our favorites. One of our favorite philosophers, because Jalen Hurts, he just knows how to send a message. And he knows, I think, how to relay really the feelings of a losing quarterback and a losing team.
You take your deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
So there's Jalen Hurts. That was from a few weeks ago. Too bad for the Eagles. It didn't really work because they didn't flush anything. All they do is lose. And now their head coach had a flower analogy today that I actually think holds weight, the analogy. I'm just not sure it works in a locker room. I don't know if it works in the sports world. There's some Ronnie Rolston gardening glove type of vibe here. Let's play the audio. We'll come back and respond to it.
Yeah.
The results aren't there right now, but what's going on here is that there's growth under the soil. I put a picture of a flower up, right, and that it's coming through the ground, and the roots are growing out, and the roots are continuing to grow out. And everybody wants to see results. Shoot, nobody wants to see results more than us, right? We want to see results too, but it's really important that the foundation is being built and that the roots are growing out. And the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all water, we all fertilize, we all do our part, each individual coach, each individual player, everybody in the building, that we do our part to water, to make sure that when it does pop out, it really pops out and it grows.
What?
Okay. Flower talk.
If I was in his office and that guy said that to me, I walk out. I'm sorry.
What about if he just shows you a picture of a flower?
I walk
starting
out.
To blossom.
Dude, that guy's a head coach in the NFL.
That's right.
How does he get? He doesn't even sound like, I don't know. I talk to you a lot, Hayes, about what I think. Like you, just like the first vibe of a coach and how he looks and how he presents and how he speaks and talks and stuff. It's like important. That guy looked like a grade 8 phys ed teacher.
Yeah, that was like some Ted Lasso type of stuff.
Yeah,
that...
it was Ted Lasso. That's the first thing I thought of. There was probably people in that room that gave it the Billy Madison. Do you remember when the principal goes, "That was ridiculous," and we're all
right,
we're all dumber for listening to it. Like,
yes.
You could understand the analogy, but it didn't make sense. How it applied to this group. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, right? I mean, he's saying, you know, you all put in the work and you don't see it right now, but eventually it'll pay off. And like, that's why I actually think the analogy holds, but I don't think it fits in the nature of a sports locker room. Like, I don't know if the guys would be following. I don't know if that's what they want to be. Like, we always talk about motivation. We always talk about guys wanting to run through a wall for a coach. I don't think guys are running through the wall for a flower analogy.
Yeah. But that's not Lou Brown peeling off a strip.
Like, exactly. It's not Lou Brown from Major League.
But that, you know what that is? It's him going in the room and saying moral victory. Like, that, we didn't win, but you know what? We're getting there. The process.
It's
like,
a loser's race. It's a loser's race, that speech.
I don't know how many times. I'm processed out because we heard that throughout the whole time with Mike Babcock. How many times did we hear the process? This is, you know, what was his famous go-to saying? Say, you got men that want to earn a living. What was that one? That it was like, feed their families. That was
right.
When
you show up to camp, it's one thing when you're a kid and you don't know any better or whatever. But he also, you're right. He always used to say, if you do it right every day,
right.
You know, that was always his thing. It's like, all right,
you get up and do it
right every day. Then at some point it pays off. And again, it's not wrong. Like,
no.
It is in terms of building up a team, building towards a system, building up a culture, and trying to have it pay off down the road. Once you've won something, you might look back and say, you know what, now that makes sense. At the time, it did make sense, but now it does. It's just, I think it's also trying to buy some more time. Now, he is a rookie coach. Sirianni is a rookie coach in Philly. That market, you know, chews people up pretty badly. So we'll see how long he's going to last. And the quarterback is an issue. Jalen Hurts is young, and he's unproven, and it hasn't looked so good for them this year. And they're dealing with turnover. They're just not a very good team. That's more about management, probably more than Sirianni. The question is, do you put yourself in a spot where the team's like, I don't know where you're taking us here, man? Like, because credibility is a big part of coaching,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. He might have a giant tree on top of his car. The players might get a giant tree and put it on top of his car before he leaves the practice facility.
I do love gag gifts. Like, I do like it when people, you know, it's a serious thing or whatever, but then eventually it turns into a little bit of, like, you're right. If there's a jokester on that team, somebody will have a tree delivered either to his house or
right through his sunroof. Right through his sunroof. Dirt all in the car. There's your branches and things growing in the
flowers.
Roots. Yeah, the roots.
Someone drops off like a new bouquet of flowers to his office every single day.
Yeah, for 2 weeks straight. I love that type of stuff where, you know, like, I'm not lying. The Urban Meyer situation, I guarantee you there were guys just giving it to him in the dressing room, or there were pictures put up on the bulletin board or something. Like, they, you know, I don't know how serious they would have taken it in the room, taking a look at what this guy was up to. Like,
Well, you never know, right? Like, from the outside, you assume, oh, this is toxic, and this is something that Urban Meyer is never going to be able to overcome. And that could be the case, you know, but we're only speculating from the outside. There is clearly a chance. Maybe some of the guys were like, is this guy for real? Like, more just laughing about him or goofing on him, as opposed to angered by the hypocrisy. Probably a combination of both, really.
Depends on where you stand,
Even that story is now kind of blown over because he's still there, and, you know, he's still going to be there. He's not going anywhere. He's going to remain the coach, and they're coming off a bye and a win a couple of weeks ago in London. So Leo Routens will join us in just over an hour ahead of the Raptors game tonight. We've got Rick Westhead coming up in about an hour, and this is pretty exclusive. Well, it's incredibly exclusive. John Doe, who is the victim, the alleged victim in this Blackhawks story and scandal and all of the allegations that have come to light in the last few months, he will be speaking with Rick on SportsCenter at 6 o'clock. So he will be revealing his identity and, I guess, speaking on what happened, the aftermath, the reaction. There's clearly going to be a lot to get to. So that's coming up on SportsCenter in about an hour right here on TSN 4. Rick Westhead will have that interview, and then Rick will join us shortly after that around 6:10, and we'll get him to reveal how this all came about and his reporting throughout it all, and we'll look back on the news of the day yesterday that clearly has carried over to today in the National Hockey League with the aftermath of the revelation of details in terms of the investigation, the internal investigation into the Blackhawks scandal from 11 years ago. So Rick Westhead in about an hour, Leo Routen still to come. Role play level of concern coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
All right, role play level of concern. We all know the way this works. We go around the table. We are assigned someone or something, and then we have to hand out our level of concern. Is it a pint on the patio, which means no concern whatsoever? Maybe a six-pack and a shot or two, which is mediocre concern? Or is it Nick Cage and leaving Las Vegas, which is just extreme concern? Lots and lots and lots of concern. All right? So we've done this many times before. I think people can follow along. We all know the way this works. Let's get it kick-started here. Oh, you are Brendan Shanahan. Level of concern, the Maple Leafs are not selling out games yet.
Is that already happening, or you think that's going to happen when they return home?
They've, in terms of start of the season, they've played home games full capacity. It has not been a full sellout yet. Level of concern.
I would be a 12-pack and three hammered shots of Grey Goose chilled on ice.
Oh, that's
the
a
three
lot.
Shots.
Pretty good concern,
be.
Man.
That's a pretty good concern.
That's a lot of concern. That's
and
Nick
I, the
Cage
only reason I
Reno.
Say that, and I don't know the dynamics of people getting into the rink or working or whatever, COVID, they're not comfortable going. But I am just used to sitting in that press box and hearing the attendance being announced, 19,918 every single game. And that's a sellout. And it's the same number every game.
Right.
When I did the games with the Tap Man, the guy'd come on, I'm like, same number, same number. My whole life, that building is just a full house. That's all I've known it to be. And to see anything different, that's where I hammer the 12-pack and the three chilled shots.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is not of the norm.
It's about business, right? Like, it's not even about the team or whatever or the reasoning behind it. I guess you got to figure that out, although I'm not sure how Shanahan himself could possibly change that. But you're coming off a season with no one in the building, a lot of money lost for every business around the world, and you're trying to make it up. And it's early, but it is unique. You know,
it's
the idea that that building is not a packed house yet.
We generally know the pulse of what's going on. But I'm hearing some stuff from people, and I'm just talking about me walking around on a daily basis. And some of the stuff I'm hearing, I actually find it a little bit concerning. Like, they're just like, I'm going to follow the crack in this shit. Like, just stupid stuff, but it's like stuff I've never heard before where it's like, if people seem serious, too. They're like, I'm just not doing it anymore.
Yeah, people are really rattled, man.
I can't hammer
it home enough, and it's anecdotal. It is. It's based on interactions. You know,
Come back and crawl back, but it's course. Like I'm hearing some stuff that it's just like, okay.
No, it's weird. Like it does feel different. It feels different. Like there have been bad times, there have been ugly times.
Yep.
And yet it didn't feel as if it was to this point. And I think that speaks more to the expectations because people weren't expecting the Kessel Phaneuf Leafs to win a cup. Like no one thought that. So when it melted down, they're like, it sucks. I can't believe it. I'm not watching. But they've been sold, I think the fans have been sold this bill of goods, understandably so, that Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, they're gonna take this team to a completely new level.
As they
and it just hasn't
that.
Happened. Absolutely, well, that should have been the sales pitch. That should have been the expectation. I don't think it was a wrong message, but when you feel like you got burned and cheated, then maybe it just stings that much more.
Hayes, you always use the word apathy, and is that what's ringing through, the lack of interest, kind of like the, you know, people, just a thin layer. If everyone was 100% in, now they're 80% in, 85%, is there a layer just been shaved off? Is
there
that
could,
what it is?
But I think there's people that are, like, vindictive. There are fans that, like, apathy would...
Like they're pissed.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like, I'm following the Kraken. It's just, I don't know, I'm not tracking it as closely. These guys, I'm not a fan right now, and I don't want to be a fan. Being vindictive is like, I hate this team. Like, I'm seeing people be like, tank for Shane Wright. It's like, whoa, let's settle down here a little bit. Like, I don't want to be in tank mode here. And it's not going to happen. You don't have that power. But if that's how you're thinking, I hope they lose. Like, that's a dark fan psychology. That's a dark place to be when you're
wrong for right.
Wrong for right.
Yeah,
I like
but it.
Shane Wright, shout out.
I don't. And meanwhile, Shane Wright's not playing that well recently. I don't know if you've been hearing.
He's going first overall anyway. It doesn't matter.
I think he's feeling some pressure. But anyways, I think about it like you guys talk to Leaf fans a lot more. I try to interact as much as possible. But you get like a different reaction. Like I almost feel like it's a COVID reaction. You know how everyone's got a different opinion on COVID and vaccination and all of that. With the Leafs, everyone's got a different opinion on the Leafs right now. And it's quite unique. I haven't seen that in the last little while, especially in the last 18 months with this group. You just haven't seen it or felt it.
No, and I don't think the eternal optimist is as optimistic as they've been in the past. And maybe that is what would be most concerning if you're Shanahan, because there's always been a certain chunk of the fan base, and a fair amount, like a large percentage, 25%, 30%, I don't know, that was just eternally optimistic and always believed and was always like, I love these guys and they'll get it together. And they're always like counterbalancing or counteracting the eternal pessimist on the other side. And I just think they're being overpowered by the eternal pessimist and the people that are angry and the apathetic crowd. And anyway, moving on here. Role play level of concern. Noodles, you are Mark Shapiro. Level of concern, the turmoil atop Rogers may have a negative effect on the Blue Jays.
It's got to be a 12-pack. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to add any shots to it. I initially
take
thought...
One.
Okay,
one shot.
But,
come on.
But a lemon.
This guy's Frank.
Give me a
tank.
Lemon vodka or something. Just
smarten
one.
Up.
Like, a lemon
not a
vodka.
Yager or anything heavy. Just like a nice vodka something, you know. But my thought process is if there's even a slight trickle down of, hey, we're not sure how this is going to unfold at the ownership level, you know how just – whispers come out with the agents and stuff like that. Players look at it. I'm not saying it's a real tough market here, but it is tougher. You're the only team north of the border. Like, I just, I'm a 12-pack and one nice shot.
Yeah, I think that is an appropriate answer. Like, you're talking about your ownership, and there are there is serious turmoil going on. Like, there's a battle for the ages right now between Edward Rodgers and the rest of the board and the rest of the family. And you don't know how it's going to shake out. And Edward Rodgers has been the one, he's been the chair of the Blue Jays, so that is who you have been dealing with. And the reports have indicated that I have read that regardless of how this all plays out, he will continue to be in that role. But what if he has no power? What if he has no money? What if you're dealing with a different person?
You know, that's a desk.
Exactly. Like, what if it's a different board? What if it's someone that doesn't see the value in signing Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien and others? It's just a level of uncertainty right now that has to be concerning for Shapiro and Atkins. It has to be. They'll never say it publicly, nor should they, because you know where your bread is buttered, right? Their paychecks are signed by the Rodgers family as well, or by Rodgers, period. But this is a really serious story that could have ripple effects one way or the other.
No,
absolutely,
question.
If you're Mark Shapiro and company. I am playing the role of Masai Ujiri. Level of concern, here we go. This seems to be a consistent theme. Level of concern, Edward Rodgers may not have your back. Pint on the patio. Pint on the patio.
Oh, really?
Pint on the patio, because the job is done. I signed the contract. Masai signed the deal. He's here. Larry Tannenbaum stepped in.
Someone that tried to oust you, how could you possibly think that in the future he's going to have his back? What do you think, he's just good with everything now and says, that's my guy?
It's not about that. What I'm saying
is,
if I'm playing the role of Masai, I don't need you because you didn't have my back anyway.
Oh, okay,
you didn't want me. Guess what? Larry Tannenbaum did. He's the one that signed the deal. That's the point. Like this. That's why my reaction to the story, I think, has been a little bit different than others, where I'm intrigued by it. I can't wrap my head around why you wouldn't possibly want Masai Ujiri back, or why you would have an issue with Masai. But I don't know Masai personally. I don't know Edward Rodgers personally. Who knows what the backstory is on that? But in the end, it doesn't change anything. That's why I'm a pine on the patio, because even if he didn't want Masai, which that is what the reports would indicate, or didn't think he was worth whatever they were going to pay him, he got paid it anyway. Tannenbaum stepped in. Like, the reports indicate Edward Rodgers called Adam Silver in the league and said, I don't like this. I don't want.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Like, Larry Tannenbaum has the power.
Once it's done, when the guy already was it in your corner, you could just tell him to go stuff it in the future.
Exactly.
You
like,
can.
No Christmas cards, no back and forth. I don't need to stop and chat. If I'm Masai, who cares?
Yeah,
I got my deal. I got the power. I got the autonomy. You tried your power play. You tried not, you know, maybe to move past me or whatever, but it didn't work.
But isn't it
so? If you're Masai, why would you care?
Well, it's still unnerving from the level of confidence. You know, like, you're right. Masai's a king in this city. He brought a championship here. The deal's done. There's really nothing that can be done to him. But it's just nice to have, you know, the confidence from above going, like, you lay in bed at night, you're like, this guy wanted to get rid of me. And it is a little bit...
It might be a little bit unnerving and listen, uncomfortable, because guess what? You're going to cross paths at some point.
Exactly.
And Rodgers is still one of the main owners, and you're going to have to deal with them, of course. But Masai, I think, is well aware of the way the game is played.
Right.
Like, Masai, go talk to DeMar DeRozan. I still don't think he's Masai Ujiri's biggest fan.
Yeah,
Masai made a business decision. And I can't wrap my head around the idea of not saying blank check, we need you here, you represent this organization more so than anyone else and better than anyone else, and you achieved the impossible by winning an NBA championship, and I want to see if you can do it again. If it were me, it would have been an easy negotiation. And now you look back on it and you wonder what took so long. Well, maybe this was it, and there's frustration, retrospective frustration, but the deal got done. Like, Masai got done, he's here, and – an owner, you're entitled. It's your money. It's your vote. If you don't like the guy or don't feel he's valued that way, you are it's not illegal to feel that way. It may be irresponsible or difficult to understand, but it's not like he did something illegal by saying he didn't want Masai. And it's not the first time an owner has turned their back on someone or decided they weren't the biggest fans when everyone else thought they should be, right?
Yeah,
but if I'm Masai Ujiri, to get back to role play level of concern, pine on the patio. Now, if Larry Tannenbaum was turning on me, then I'd have an issue. Then you might have a bit of an issue here. But I don't think there's any reason to believe Masai has anything less of full autonomy and has full support from at least 2/3 of the board. He got his deal. He's here for short-term, long-term, whatever it's going to be. But because Masai, if it was that big of an issue, could have also left, and he didn't, right?
Right.
Like, you moved through it, you worked through it, and you got the deal done. All right, moving on here. Role play level of concern. Oh, you're Austin Matthews' Rocket Richard Trophy. Level of concern, you'll be on someone else's mantle by the end of the season.
I'm a six-pack and four hammered shots, chilled, Grey Goose.
Okay.
So what that means.
I love the little sniffle of satisfaction after that, yeah, too. It's the best sniffle in the game.
Exactly.
A little sniffle of satisfaction.
What that means is you're having a casual Sunday afternoon, but you're getting a little bit nervous because you have a meeting. So you hammer four of them. Chilled, Grey Goose, on ice.
Right.
And then that's how you proceed. There's some nerves involved. You're like, okay, I missed some games. I came back from the surgery. But, guys, time piles up quickly in the NHL. It goes from, like, okay, then all of a sudden you're 15, 20 games deep, and, like, the leader's got seven right now.
And you see who's sitting atop the leaderboard?
Ovi.
It's Alex Ovechkin again.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to give you 10 or 15 goals up. He's not going to stop that. He's not going to give up that lead.
No, I can't believe he's doing it again, Ovi. Seven out of the gate, just in his sleep. Seven out of the gate.
And he looks fantastic. He's flying out there, breakaways, scoring from everywhere, hitting.
He had a goal the other day. It had a fantastic angle from it on TV where it was through a screen, but it went blocker side on the goaltender. And it was in the net before the goalie even moved. I was like, man, you forget how hard he shoots the puck. Not the breakaway one with the
broken
stick.
Jamie, it's the first time I've ever said he's going to break Gretzky's record. Ever before, I was like, he's just not doing it. I fully think he's going to do it.
I mean, health-wise, because here's a guy that we all thought he blew his knee out last week, and he was questionable for the opener.
Opening night, he scored two at 4 points.
He was questionable for it. Like, everyone else would have been, may have been stretchered off for surgery, and this guy, he is beyond a machine. I still laugh out loud. Do you remember when he got hit in the face with the puck on the bench and didn't move?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, rubbed off his
cheek.
Cyborg. Yeah. Like, it's...
And he's got a hole in one.
He's got a four beers. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Swear to God!
Swear to God, hole in one. That still drives me nuts that he's got a hole in one. Guy can't swing a golf club. I don't have one. I've never seen one live. This guy really is living his best life.
He really
Alex
is.
Ovechkin.
Anyway, it's a four-pack. That trophy's a four-pack. And four hammered shots.
Okay. All right. Moving on here. Noodles, you are Al's brother. You are Al's brother. Level
play it.
You just can't stop yourself.
You
just play it. Whatever.
Never ask me to stop drinking.
Okay. Finish the question.
All right. Level of concern. You're actually on the verge of being cut from Team Al Dog.
Yeah,
now, be serious. This is a really serious topic, and, you know, this is real content we're trying to
get. You know why I'm concerned? Is because we have a group text, and I'm not on the group text that you guys do about your betting on Sundays. But I can tell you right now, the guy to, what is it, the left or right of me, depending on your screen, he's not happy. And I've seen it. Like, he's giving him a little longer leash than he wants to, and he wants Team Al Dog to come through. But I keep hearing him saying, I'm going to go to the guy on Twitter. I'm going to go to Gord Miller.
There's options. And I'm just like, I'm like the Leafs. I want my team to have a chance. Just give me a chance. It just seems like we're mailing in picks time after time where it's like. And then when he tries to do the good thing, I'll, like, reverse the pick, and it's bad news all the way. I know.
Yeah,
he had a winner that night. The Monday night massacre, man, he had it. He had the Colts. He loved them at +7, and you flipped on them. But I have people legitimately asking me if it's, like, staged. I'm like, guys, we make the picks before the game. Like, what do you think this is? Back to the Future?
Think it's like a joke where we're trying to lose?
Yeah, like people are legitimately like, it feels like it's staged. Like he's trying to lose. I'm like, how? He's picking. It's a spread. He's picking one team or the other. Like even if
that,
it was completely
that is the biggest indictment on the whole thing. If people have asked if it's a joke,
right? Is this pre-programmed? But again,
a joke.
How would we know the outcome of a game that hasn't been played yet? Yeah. Like, it's actually, you're insulting your own intelligence asking the question. But I think people are flabbergasted. They're legitimately flabbergasted that Team Al Dog is just running into the wall.
He's not even running into it. He's driven it off a cliff. But I'm concerned. So we played it for him. I'm Nick Cage concerned for him because if he's not on waivers, he's close to being put on waivers.
Maybe I pick him up. Play it again.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
There's an option. Do you want to make a trade? I'll take on Al's brother. You want me to take on Al's brother? You can start making picks for me, and you can start doing it on your own.
No. I'll stick it out with the guy. He's got this week, and then we're done.
If he goes on waivers, I'm claiming him. I'm putting in a claim. It's going through the league office, which is Noodles, and we'll see if that is doable.
I mean, if you put him on waivers, then you and whoever you choose, the Twitter guy or Gord Miller, can go up against Team Hayes and Al Dog. Team Hayes Dog.
Yep. Bubbles and Al Hayes.
The thing is, though, you would just dummy him. Like, you just basically talk him into what you want. So you would be your assistant. He wouldn't be your partner.
Well, maybe. It's like Primerica, right? I could use an intern over here.
Yeah,
Al's
brother
helping me out, feeding me tremendous information, and then I make a decision based on that tremendous information.
Yeah.
I think there's actually a lot of potential there. All right, final one, role play level of concern. Hayes, I am playing the role of Scotty Barnes. Level of concern, your role will be diminished when Pascal Siakam returns. Well, I got to be, somewhere between a 6 and a 12-pack, maybe a 6-pack, a couple of pints, and a shot. I mean, I got to take this into consideration. Siakam's, I'm getting a lot of play here. I'm in the starting lineup. I'm getting a lot of run. I'm getting opportunities to put up shots. Plays are running through me to an extent. When Siakam comes back, the complexion of this team is going to change. I mean, Pascal Siakam, I think, will immediately return as the number one option. Plays getting called for him out of timeouts. Plays running through him. And they're built similarly. I think the plan, short-term and long-term, is to have both of them on the court alongside OG Anunoby and just use your length. And really, that's where the game of basketball is going, positionless basketball. But, yes, I can't say I'm a pine on the patio because when the big dog rolls back into town, things are going to change a little bit. So everyone will be fighting it a bit more in terms of fighting for time, fighting for touches. And from my standpoint, if I'm playing the role of Scotty Barnes, there's a mediocre level of concern. But I embrace it because I want to win, right? It's all about winning, and Pascal Siakam is going to help this team win. Not off to the greatest start, 1-3. You got Indiana in town tonight. We'll tee that up with Leo Routens into the next hour. Rick Westhead still to come on his exclusive interview with John Doe, who was clearly the victim in the Chicago Blackhawks scandal. He will reveal his identity and speak to Rick on SportsCenter. That's coming up in about 20 minutes right here on TSN4. And then Rick Westhead will join us to detail that conversation and to look back on the investigation and all of the details that came out yesterday and where the league might be taking it from here. So Rick Westhead in about a half an hour. The Leafs are in action as well tonight. We'll get back into that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Raptors back in action. Indiana in town tonight. The Lakers are playing Oklahoma City, and LeBron will not play. He's out with an ankle injury. And I'd love to get an honest answer from Frank Vogel about what he would like LeBron to do when he's not playing, because LeBron in street clothes means it's LeBron coaching. Like, I don't know if you saw any of the antics a couple nights ago, but he's right in the middle of everything. He's got the whiteboard out. I love it. Like, LeBron, and there's nothing Frank Vogel can do. Nothing. Like, if LeBron basically says, I'm wearing a suit and I'm going to – although no coaches wear suits in the NBA anymore. Like, no one. I don't think anyone's gone back to it. They're all like, hey, we're living that COVID lifestyle, the old bubble thing. We're keeping that. We're not going back to suits. But LeBron can do whatever he wants.
All those years in Cleveland, I mean, who was his buddy – that was,
well, Ty Lue was the coach.
Ty Lue.
Yep.
It's like, how much influence did Ty really have on what was going on in the court?
I think everything to an extent went through LeBron. Like, clearly Ty Lue had to make some decisions and run practices and stuff like that. Like, LeBron wasn't quite literally player coach, but he was as close to a consultant
basically
or assistant
was
coach as you can get. It's the same thing in LA. Like, he's if he wants to get in on the huddle, if he wants
to
pick up the whiteboard, he's going to do it. Like, you don't see it from other injured players, but LeBron's a different beast.
I don't know if
he's a different beast LeBron James.
I don't know if you saw the other day, but it seemed like Jeremy Culleton handed the whiteboard to the players on the ice in Chicago the other
day.
I
saw that.
And they drew up a play and handed him the whiteboard back.
What the hell was that?
I like that. It's like I see these coaches, they draw up this play. It's like, oh, okay, so if we lose the draw, we got to go get the puck. No kidding.
Right.
Let the players draw something up. Like, if you don't know what to do at that level, if you lose a face-off, I love the coach. He gets in there. He starts scribbling on the whiteboard. It's like, if you win the draw, you get it back to the point. You try to get a shot to the net. You crash the net. Like, I don't know.
There are teams like, I think Vegas is really good at having set plays off the draw. That's Peter DeBoer. He's a really, really smart coach that way. But optically, it looked terrible. Culleton, there's a team that hasn't had a lead. You know, chaos there, and the coach is like, all right, you guys draw something up here. Good luck with that. Try and get us back into the game. Like, I just didn't like it optically. I think a lot of that stuff can be done in practice. 6-on-5, you know, teams practice that nowadays at the end of the game where you got the goalie pulled 6-on-5, you work on plays. So it should come as second nature. Hey, we're going to try this 6-on-5 when it's the faceoff is on the strong side with a left-handed centerman. Like, we're going to do this. You know, you want players like that should already be planned out so that to try something new, you know, not even mid-game, at the end of the game and the coach's hands and whiteboard.
But that's the point, though, right? Like, what if someone comes back and goes, I'm thinking flying V here, Colin.
Right.
Like, let me draw this thing up. What's he going to do? Once you've handed them the power to make the call, does he have veto power? Like, does Colin have the ability to come back and say, you know what, on second thought, I don't love that. Here's the play I'm looking for. Then you run out of time in your timeout anyway.
Right.
Just seems like a really amateur move.
It seemed weird, but I mean, we've seen other things, and of course memes, you know, they're on the internet, him handing the whiteboard and I don't know if you've seen people, they write a message going, you're fired next game.
Oh yeah, he has taken a ton.
There's some pretty tough memes there, you know, as the internet is quite creative sometimes.
Well, I mean, Jeremy Culleton, you talk about a guy who, like, he's got no connection to the 2011 team, clearly.
Yeah.
He's got no connection to the scandal in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yet he's the head coach of the team and speaks every day with the media. So I don't know exactly what they're asking him and how he's even supposed to respond. Like, he can speak on behalf of the current players, and there are current players who are carryover players, right? Jonathan Toews was on that team, and Kane was on that team. But now you got Culleton, who was brought in by Stan Bowman, and we know Stan Bowman stepped aside yesterday. So it feels like the Blackhawks are on the verge of really drastic change, like significant turnover. And I don't know where the head coach comes into play on that, because he should be hired or fired based on his performance, not based on an association with Bowman or an association with a team that did something allegedly awful 10 years ago.
But
I mean,
also,
that
the team stinks the joint out this year.
But that's it. If he sucks as a coach and the team sucks, then that's why you should go. But I don't. I guess what I'm saying is, in his defense, is if it's just everyone's out, everything's clean slate, like, Culleton is going to get
kind of wiped out with it.
And
a new manager's
going to come.
Nothing
to do with the past issues in Chicago.
You're right. A new manager is going to come in, though, and he's going to choose who he wants. And there's going to be people above him. Like, this is, it seems like there's sweeping change there. So whoever's going to come in and take over, they're probably going to want their people for stability and trust, because that's what I would want to do. If I took over a situation, you bring in people that you trust and that you want to move forward with. There might be a feeling out process to go, you know what, this guy's here. Let's see what he's all about. We'll give him till the end of the year. We'll give him, you know, 20 more games or something like that. But it's just they're in such a state of flux. And so they should be. This organization has earned it based on their lack of action and how terrible that situation was. But what you're saying, Hayes, is the Culleton situation is different. This is a coach that...
This is based on performance. Coaching
this is based on... Exactly. So it's they've got a lot going on there. And I think a new coach might be kind of 10th on their depth chart right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, how many eyes, how much focus is on the actual team and the wins and losses? And,
yeah.
You know, it's because clearly that organization is really dealing with serious allegations from 10 years ago. The report that was made public yesterday would indicate that it wasn't handled properly, and that's why the league fined them $2 million. $2 million for not handling the allegations appropriately at the time. And it is now not only a Chicago Blackhawk issue, it's a Florida Panther issue with Joel Quenneville, it's a Winnipeg Jet issue with Kevin Cheveldayoff, and any player that was a part of that team 10 years ago and is still in the league, it's an issue that's on their front door. Duncan Keith spoke on it earlier today in Edmonton, as we knew he would yesterday, right? We said that. Their first questions are going to be about this. It's the biggest story in the game right now. Rick Westhead will join us on this story on his exclusive interview coming up on SportsCenter with the alleged victim in this. John Doe will reveal himself and speak on his experiences, and that's coming up on SportsCenter, and then Rick Westhead will join us. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.